Welcome to the Pig Health Today podcast, where we talk all health all the time. Hear engaging interviews with today's leading industry experts. Hosted by Pig Health Today editors, podcast episodes highlight the latest ideas, insights, and advice to improve pig health, welfare, and performance.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stocks with Pig Health Today, and we're speaking to Aaron Lauer, who's a swine veterinarian at Carthage Veterinary Service. Aaron, thanks very much for joining us today.
No problem, Caroline.
Now, you're here to talk to us about swine influenza. Mm-hmm. It's something that continues to be a bit of a nagging challenge for swine herds and for grower herds. Can you tell us a little bit about the challenges that both are facing with it?
Yeah, influenza continues to be a big frustration for us. And really, I think if it was more pathogenic, we'd probably talk about it a lot more than, say, PRRS or PEDV. And it's really because our break rates are pretty high with regard to growing pig populations, sow farm populations. And one of the big gaps yet is the epidemiology. We generally have a relatively high break rate, and we kind of shrug it off and say, well, I wonder if that was probably the people that brought it in, or maybe it was my replacement gilt, or maybe it blew it in the air. And so we stay away from prevention, and we work a lot on management of influenza.
So how does it differ between the two groups, between sows and growing pigs?
Generally, we worry about two sorts of things with regard to sows. So one is protection of the sows, and really on the more of the breeding side. So sow mortality and abortions can really drive that. Over the past number of years, we don't see as much of that, but we see a lot of endemic suckling pig populations. So we continue to put out week after week after week pigs that are positive to influenza. So those are kind of the two groups or two thought processes there on the sow farm. And the growing pigs, we don't have a lot of great interventions with regard to growing pigs. So for the most part, we just put our head down and kind of use anti-inflammatories or antibiotics to kind of get ourselves through those infections.
So you just mentioned briefly there some of the approaches. I mean, what is a typical approach to addressing influenza?
Yeah, in the sow farms, we utilize quite a bit of vaccine and strategically and for kind of those two situations. So, you know, whatever your goal of the farm is where you position that. We in the sow farm try and protect the sows by utilizing generally autogenous vaccines. We see that there's about 7 or 8 strains that we'll commonly get in different clades anymore, and so there's tremendous variation that continues to spread out, and it's a little bit different geographically, but we will typically do like 2 mass vaccinations in the sow farm. So typically, like you and I get flu vaccines, so as we go into the fall, you get 1 vaccination. So we'll typically vaccinate those sow farms in the fall, trying to be predictive of what strains we think we're going to see. And then if we find flu in suckling pigs, utilize an autogenous homologous vaccine pre-farrow in order to try and eradicate it out of the suckling pigs.
So are those approaches successful, or does something need to change in the way that herds are managed?
Yeah, we generally change our approach every year. So I would say that that's an indication that they're not satisfactory or successful. Our newest approach is what we call a prime and a boost. And so you can put 3 to 4 antigens generally in most flu vaccines, and I said we see 7 to 8. So we're kind of getting into trouble here where we can't make these sows a pincushion. There's been some new research described here over the last 2-3 years about a prime and a boost strategy. So instead of vaccinating with 3-4 strains and then coming back with the exact same 3 or 4 strains, we're utilizing 4 strains and then coming back with 4 totally different strains. And that's actually without boostering that initial immune response in challenge studies has been quite protective of the pigs. So that research has given us the opportunity here in the last year or two to try that, in which we can go ahead and vaccinate them for the 8 strains that we're going to see.
Is that something that's been used more in gilts? Is that correct?
Both. We use it both in sows and gilts, and so we're kind of doing the same strategy in gilt development pre-breed in order to vaccinate those gilts with what we call prime and boost, and then same thing with the sow farm as we go into the fall.
So by doing that approach, are you covering more of the virus strains?
Yeah, we're covering more of the virus strains. Now, we did that approach in probably 45 or so sow farms this year, and we've been really happy with it so far, and that we've generally been, I think, within 2% of all the strains that we've commonly seen. And I think we've only had 1 or 2 farms that have had some sow mortality associated with it just 1 year in the books. But it's an approach we're going to try again for next year.
Now, influenza seems to be transitioning from something that causes reproductive losses to something that's an endemic condition in suckling pigs. What are the effects?
The more common clinical presentation anymore has been the suckling, endemic suckling pigs. And so we'll see generally as those farms break, you'll see some activity in sows and whatnot and activity in all of the piglets. But with some time, the sows quit shedding. And so with piglet movement and that, we'll see pigs that look great up through 12, 14 days, and then they start to cough really that last week and into weaning. And then post-wean, they're slow starting, they're depressed, they have a lot of fall off, and some mortality associated with that. So that's become the very common clinical presentation.
You've talked about elimination plans in the past. How have those developed and how are they different today than they were, say, a few years ago?
Yeah. I've had a keen interest in this really for the past about 8 years. And so we used to be, I guess, a bit more aggressive with it in that we thought that like the gilt pool was a big maybe source or population. So we go into herd closure also as part of that plan. We found that that's not as important as really just the suckling pigs or your reservoir. And as you think about a 6,000 head sow farm, you've got 10,000 piglets on that farm, and you've got to get all of those 10,000 pigs negative at the exact same time. So that's really been the focus there. The gilts, you want to try and source a negative population if you can, and you want to try and get rid of circulating flu in that gilt developer if possible. But they haven't been as key, I would say, as focus on the suckling pigs.
So what would your key piece of advice be then, both to producers and to veterinarians?
Yeah, a couple of things would be trying to understand where the virus is coming from. So there's things that we probably can't control very well, aerosol spread or some of our staffing, other than the education and whatnot of our staff. You sure can control the gilts and gilt flow, so routine monitoring of that gilt population and that to try and mitigate not bringing virus to the farm. So I think that's an important step. The second would be that we can see good divergence of the flu strains, and so unfortunately, that means a lot of sequencing and trying to understand autogenous technologies that are there in order to do that. There has been some work with also some of the commercials, and so same strategy with Prime and Boost, use a commercial and then come and follow up with an autogenous to catch some of the other strains. And that research has worked well also. So that strategy seems to be common. And then I think lastly is we can get flu out of suckling pigs. You just got to be aggressive with those two strategies of homologous vaccination, limited pig movements, and you can get out of there. What's really frustrating though is that with a high break rate, you can be successful getting it out, but chances are you might have a new one in there within the next 12 months.
We've been talking to Aaron Lauer, who's a swine veterinarian at Carthage Veterinary Service.
Thanks for listening to the Pig Health Today podcast. To get the latest news and interviews delivered to your inbox twice a week, subscribe to our e-newsletter by visiting pighealthtoday.com/join.